The scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 100 and John 4:23 through 24. First, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And then John 4:23 through 24. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we are so grateful that we can get together in this worship service, Lord. Lord, we open our heart to you. Please, Lord, help us to understand your will in our life as we listen to your word today. And we pray this in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are continuing our new sermon series, Five Practices of Fruitful Living. Today is about our practice of worship. And what is the meaning of worship to you? You try hard all the time to be at the church on Sunday morning to worship God with your brothers and sisters. Why do you do worship every Sunday? And what is your motivation to worship God every Sunday? You don't want to be any other place, but on Sunday morning, you are here to worship God. And what is worship to you? Do you see the difference in your life when you worship God or when you are not able to worship God on Sundays? I'd like you to think about those questions as you listen to my sermon today. The first, what is worship? Bishop Robert Shinazi, the writer of our study book, Five Practices of Fruitful Living, defines worship in a simple phrase as loving God in return. Loving God in return. Worship expresses our love for God and our devotion to the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of life. Everything that we express our love for God is worship. Worship is not a matter of a place, music style, or the designated time of a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but it is the matters of our hearts, our being, our lives, and our priority. So the term worship is all aspects of a Christian life. Everything in our life should be an act of worship. And everything the church does should be considered worship. For everything we do should glorify God. And then how is your worship? The same word is, how is your life? Even the Greek word for worship confirms the fact that the worship is related to all the activities we do in love for God. In the New Testament, the Greek word for worship and service is identical. The word is latreia. For example, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for latreia and an earthly sanctuary. The Korean Bible translates latreia here as service, as a King James Version and the most recently translated version, Common English Bible. But in the concept of the New Testament, worship equals service. And service is worship. Let me unfold the meaning of worship more here. Every form of your service to your brothers and sisters at the church and to the people around you is worship because you express your love for God in serving others. As you serve others, you remember the love you have received from God through His Son Jesus Christ on the cross. And also you anticipate the kingdom of God will expand through your actions of love and also through your love. And finally, while you are serving, you never fail to focus on the resurrection with Jesus Christ in the future. Our worship is to remember the love from God, participate in the mission of God, and anticipate our final destiny in Jesus Christ. Our worship is all about remembering the cross of Jesus Christ in the past, and also taking up our own cross and anticipating for joining Jesus Christ in His resurrection in the future. All combined, we can say this worship. So when we do service to our church members, and when you do mission work, we need to always remember that, yes, we have love from God. And God calls us to do mission work in the world. And also, we fix our eyes on the resurrection we're going to join with our Lord Jesus Christ in the future. That is our worship. And those are the motivations for our worship and for our service. Especially this morning, I'd like to tell you about the public worship we do every Sunday here at the sanctuary. The Book of Discipline teaches us about the meaning of Lord's Day in relation to public worship. We believe the Lord's Day is divinely ordained for private and public worship, for rest from unnecessary work, and should be devoted to spiritual improvement, Christian fellowship, and service. It is commemorative of our Lord's resurrection and is an emblem of our eternal rest. It is essential to the permanence and growth of the Christian church and important to the welfare of the civil community. We believe divine worship is essential to the life of the church, and that the Christian and the assembling of the people of God for such worship is necessary to Christian fellowship and spiritual growth. According to our Book of Discipline, the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, is day for worship, fellowship, service, and rest. Also, it says, our observance of the Lord's Day, including our worship, is beneficial to our spiritual growth and also to the welfare of the civil community. How wonderful that is. If we are in obedient relationship with our God, God will expand His kingdom in this world. Which means when we join the public worship together, then we can grow in God's grace, and then we will realize the kingdom of God is expanding in this world. If our worship is collapsed into the other works at the church, the healthy and growing body of Christ will be damaged. Brother Erickson says in his book Christian Theology that in worship, the members of the church focus on God. In instruction and fellowship, they focus on themselves and fellow Christians. In evangelism, they turn their attention to non-Christians. Worship of God will suffer if the gathering of the body becomes oriented primarily to the interaction among Christians, or if the service is aimed exclusively at evangelizing the unbelievers who are present. Yes, what we do in the name of Jesus Christ, in love for God, is worship. But especially when we worship together, the public worship, on Sunday morning at the sanctuary. Without this kind of worship, we don't think we are the right church. there is no Christian life without worship. To be holistic church, the community must be the community of worship. If we flunk our worship in our lives, or replace worship with other works of the church, we are in serious spiritual danger. Do you believe in that? Yes. Worship is our number one priority in our lives. Let me ask you this question. Do you want to be transformed continually to the image of God? I believe so. Then you need to worship God because we become what we worship. Let me repeat it again. We become what we worship. The two Bible verses in the book of Romans speak loudly to us about that, especially they contain the word eikos, which means image or representation there. First, Romans 1:23, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images that look like mortal humans, birds, animals, and reptiles. The pagan worship of an image is an act of God replacement. Idols are twisted versions of reality. Whenever we worship a created object or person or animal, we are acting unnaturally towards the Creator. And though this unnatural worship of a created thing, through this unnatural worship of a created thing, the life of the worshiper takes on increasingly unnatural characteristics as well. And that unnatural character is reflected in the unnatural sexual sins that Paul later describes in the book of Romans. Do you see the chain reactions here? The second reference to image is found in Romans 8:29. We know this because God knew them in advance, and He decided in advance that they would be conformed to the image of His Son. That way, His Son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. Here, Paul speaks of those who revere God. Those who love God will be conformed to the image of Christ. Do you remember Bishop Shinage's definition of worship? Loving God in return. As we love God and worship God, we are continually being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is what is happening right now here at this worship service. Let us remember that we become what we worship. I think Psalm 100 speaks to us clearly about the fact that we resemble God in worship. Psalm 103 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pastures." In worship, we conform our identity as the children of God. God is our shepherd. He is the provider. He is our Lord. He is our creator. We belong to Him. Also in worship, we confirm our knowledge about God. Psalm 105 says, "God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God is faithful to all generations." Then our heart is uplifted and saturated with gladness and thankfulness. Also, we expand our perspectives from ourselves to all the creation and even to all the generations to come in our worship. Bishop Shinage says, "In worship, we find purpose, correction, and a sense of community. In worship, we catch our breath, prepare, reunite, and renew. In worship, we find God and find ourselves. Worship reminds us that we belong to God and to one another, and this sense of belonging is essential for our spiritual well-being. If you are a true worshiper, you cannot help serving the brothers and sisters at the church. That is why Robert Weber, a renowned theologian of worship, defined worship as meeting between God and the people. Meeting between God and His people. That is the reason why worship must be the center of our lives. If we are true worshipers, we cannot help loving our church and loving our church members, even if they have different kind of thoughts in their minds. Wayne Grudem identified 7 blessings that flow from our genuine worship. Let me share them with you briefly. We delight in God, and God delights in us. We draw near to God, and God draws nearer to us, which means God makes Himself known to us in genuine worship. God ministers to us. The Lord's enemies flee. Unbelievers know that they are in God's presence. I believe intimacy, relationship, restoration, victory, and mission, those are the words that we can connect to worship here. If you feel lost and alone, it's time for you to worship God. If you are frustrated and not happy, you need to worship God. If you want to find breakthrough in your life, it's time for worship. If you want to know the purpose of your life, be in the presence of God in worship. To experience those blessings, our worship should be genuine. To do so, we are not to disregard the spiritual aspect of worship. Worship is a spiritual activity. Ultimately, if our worship is to be effective, it must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to worship rightly. The fact that true worship is to be carried out in the unseen spiritual realm is evident in Jesus' words in John 4:23 through 24. Let us read the scripture together. The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. To worship in spirit and truth is best understood to mean not in the Holy Spirit, but rather in the spiritual realm, in the realm of spiritual activity. That is why every Sunday our choir prays together before the service for the blessings and guidance of God in the service. That is why our pastors and those who are serving in the service get together to pray to God before the service. That is why our prayer team, even Sunday, prays the intercessory prayer for our worship service and preaching pastors. That is why we needed to prepare our hearts with prayer before we do the most important thing in our life, the worship service. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our worship. Every morning when we wake up to prepare our worship service at the church, we take a bath and we dress up. But please remember, we need the guidance of our Holy Spirit. So if you have anything in your mind that can conflict with the teachings of our God, before you come to this sanctuary, you can have a time of a prayer, asking God's forgiveness in your lives. Without that kind of preparation, we cannot worship God in truth and in spirit. Let me close my message with a story of Reverend Hyunsu Lim from Toronto Big Light Church. He was recently released from North Korea after serving 31 months in the labor camp. I remember last July, July 23rd, I shared the story about Reverend Hyunsu Lim with you in my sermon. And then on the following week, he was released from North Korea. He and his church had supplied humanitarian aid for North Korea since 1997 and invested millions of dollars of charitable investment in North Korea. When it comes to North Korea missions in the United States, in Canada, in South Korea, Reverend Hyunsu Kim's church is the number one church. And churches, they want to learn from that church for a long time because they have been active in helping out the people in North Korea. They created orphanages, homes for senior citizens, noodle and tofu factories, as well as farming and educational programs. However, in January 2015, when he was arrested and detained, charged with defaming Kim Jong-un, and sentenced to life in a labor camp, the congregation was shocked. He shared this testimony with his church members at his church's Sunday worship service on August 13th. He says, "From the first day of my detainment to the day I was released, I ate 2,757 meals in isolation by myself. It was difficult to see when and how the entire ordeal would end. During the winter, I had to dig holes that measured 1 meter deep and 1 meter wide. The ground was frozen. The mud was so hard that it took 2 days to dig one hole. It was incredibly challenging. My upper body was sweating. My fingers and toes were frostbitten. In the spring and summer, I worked outside 8 hours a day in the scorching sun under the constant watch of two guards. I have lost 50 pounds and had been hospitalized 4 times. But there is a reason how I could survive while I was laboring. I prayed without ceasing. I did not have a day of gloom. My moments of discouragement, resentment, and grumbling turned into courage, joy, and thanksgiving. During his detainment, he worshiped God every day, praying to God for North Korea and also his church in Canada. He read through the Korean Bible 4 times and the English Bible once and memorized more than 700 Bible verses. Every Sunday was a rest day, so he spent his 130 Sundays worshiping for 8 hours every week. During that time, he also wrote 5 new hymns in Korean, some of which were sung by his congregation in Toronto on Sundays with tears streaming down their faces. That was the reason how he could overcome his physical, emotional, and spiritual challenges. He never ceased to worship God. In worship, we could regain his strength. He could regain his strength and power. In worship, he was renewed. In worship, he knew who God was and who he was. In worship, he never forgot the mind of gratitude and gladness. In worship, God has transformed him continually. Worship was the center of his life, even he was in prison. I don't want to idolize Reverend Lim, but I'd like to let you know that the God he worshipped and gave him strength and power is the same God we are worshipping right now here together at this sanctuary. Please, brothers and sisters, do not compromise your time with anything in the world. Worship is to be the most important thing in our lives. Remember that we resemble what we worship. Let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you for creating us to be your worshipers. Help us not to compromise our time of worship with anything. God, build us, transform us, so that we can reveal your love and goodness to the people around us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.